It's a great day at Grants Creek today. As you know, today is a special day. We want to give you a report of the trip that I was able to make a couple of weeks ago to Guinea. The third trip we've made so far, my third trip, the fourth trip for Becca Missions. And God blessed and blessed. And we want to share with you what God did there, in addition to some other things in concern with Becca Missions. And so let me say before I sit down, we have two young men that are with us today to share with us their experiences in Africa. In just a moment, the first person you'll hear from is Max Livingston. Max was my partner on the most recent trip to Guinea, and just learned to love this dear brother so much. And so we're glad Max is with us to share with us his experience in Guinea. Also, it's good to have his fiancée, Ellie, with us too. Just glad to have y'all here today. And after Max shares, Nick Reed is coming to share. And all of you know Rick, Nick, he's been here before. Nick went on the very first trip to Guinea back a year ago in April. And he's been back since then on a second trip. And so he's going to share a little bit with you about his trip, the second trip, and maybe some other challenges for us. And so we're thankful that Nick's with us. And so just listen to these young men, and I know they're going to bless your heart. But before we even do that, we want to share with you a video presentation that Max has put together of the recent trip. And so we're going to begin with that, and then Max will come, and we'll take it from there. But sit back and enjoy, and just kind of catch all of what happened to the glory of God in this past trip. So, Monty, we're ready. Anytime you're ready.
Me too.
Au revoir. Au revoir. Nietzsche. Au revoir. Au revoir. Au revoir. Au revoir. Nietzsche.
It's a great day.
That's right.
The hike, the Bantu people, tell them about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Jesus.
We're excited. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. Good morning, church. Y'all look lovely today. I am Max Livingston, and I was, like Mike said, Mike's comrade on this journey to Africa. And it was my first mission trip, and it was a learning experience for me, and it was just amazing. And I just want to start off by saying how wonderful of a preacher Mr. Griffin is. Or just a man in general. He's just God-fearing, loving, and you couldn't ask for a better partner to speak the gospel. And I want to say I love you, man, and I'll never forget this. And I appreciate everything that you do for this church and just for just everything you do. And he never complained. He kept up. He's in good shape, healthy man. And he's just on fire for God. And it's just, he's an inspiration and a great encourager. And he's just so awesome. But it's kind of funny how we got met up about 2 years ago. I was from Nashville. I was living in Nashville. And I was sitting at my computer desk. And all of a sudden, like, my sight just kind of went black. And I this picture of Africa with these mud huts and Africans in front of me. And I was with a group of people, and we were preaching the gospel, just appeared to me. And I wasn't a deep follower of God at this time. But I knew of God, and I believed in Jesus, but I just wasn't following him. And then it just kind of faded back into reality. And so I guess you could say that was like a vision of sorts, that like I was going to go to Africa. And this was 2 years ago, and I just had the mindset of just like, that's not going to happen. Like, that's not my personality. I'm very introverted. I don't talk to people publicly. And it just kind of threw it in the back seat. And just put it in the cooking pot, I guess. And then I moved back here from Nashville, and my uncle, who's a pastor of Southside Baptist Church up in Fayette, Alabama, is a part of this Becca Missions mission. And he told me about a meeting that we were going to have here at Grants Creek about the Becca Missions. And I was just curious, and I'd totally forgotten about that vision. So I came to it. And I talked with Pastor Mike and Brother Nick. I don't know if he's here yet. How you doing? And they were like, we need some people. We had two people back out on us last minute. And I was like, I'll step in and I'll go. And they're like, okay. And then it occurred to me, like, my vision. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I forgot about my vision. It came back into remembrance. And it really kind of sealed that this was a God thing. And like, this had to happen. And Mike saw that, and we made it happen. And sorry for rambling, but the trip was awesome, and it was awesome for me and for the kingdom of God. And it really taught me how to preach, and it made me realize it's really simple to carry the gospel to other people. I had all these stories lined up to tell these wonderful Becca people, but God kept stirring in my heart, just tell them of the wonderful things I've done for you. So, I mean, we would, like that video showed, we would walk around these villages, or these huts in this village, and then we'd find a person or a family, and we'd sit down, and I would just go into my testimony, which I'll share a little bit with y'all here today. Like I said, my name's Max Livingston. I'm 30 years old. And growing up, I was very wealthy, and I could do whatever I wanted. I had a lot of freedom, didn't have much discipline from my parents. And I got into a lot of trouble and down a dark path, and I just kept trying to fill this void in me that was just empty with money, alcohol, all sorts of bad things, and just led me down this dark, dark road. But I knew of Jesus, but I didn't want to try him yet because he wanted me to give up my sin. It got to a point where it was just so bad that I had to get on my knees and just ask Jesus to come into my life because I didn't want to be here anymore. And I mean, it's so sad to say. I mean, you have everything you could possibly want in this life, and why would you want to leave? But it came to that point. It just showed me that we have to have God in our lives to be fulfilled and to live life. And that's the way it's meant to be, is with him, in relationship with him. And that's all you really have to do. That's what I learned, to share with people the gospel. And they received that message really well. It was sad to see some children would come up after and be like, "Oh, they love the message, but we can't accept your faith because my dad won't let me." And that's just really bad, or really hard to see. That it's just their communities like that, and Islam has such a grasp on them. But I know Jesus is more powerful, and he will break those walls down with persistence and just nonstop. But I say all that we didn't have a physical or visual salvation, but I want to let y'all know that that's not fruitless, because the Bible says there's two types of seasons. There's sowers and then there's reapers. And the Becca people are in a season of sowing, I believe. And we are sowing these seeds. And it doesn't feel as good as harvesting the fruit, but it's okay, because both jobs need to be done, and both have an equal treasure in heaven for that. And I just want to thank God for allowing this to happen, and I know he's going to use those seeds we planted all the time and make them grow. And hopefully we'll have a harvest soon, and hopefully I'll be able to go back again with you, Brother Mike. I loved it, and it was just amazing. And I know I don't have much time up here now, so I guess I'll pass the torch off to Brother Nick, who's went in previous journeys. But thank you again so much for the opportunity, and I just love you so much, Mike. You're an amazing man, an inspiration to me. I appreciate you, man.
Good morning, y'all. Max, you did a great job, and I appreciate you spoke to me big time. I wanted to take my few minutes to focus more on what you guys as a church have meant to me as part of this mission and enabling it and playing a role in it. I know you have a time of decision coming up as a church in, you know, pursuing the future of Becca Missions. And, you know, just with that on my heart, God laid a verse of scripture on my heart. It's Philippians, the first chapter. And in Philippians, the first chapter, Paul, he says in verse 3, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." In verse 5, he says, why? He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." You know, similar to Max, the involvement in this mission project is something that has changed my life forever. And I think it's amazing to me the way that God works, the way that he orchestrates events, he pulls people together, and that he uses churches and uses everyday ordinary believers to do things that are exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or imagine. And the fact that he chooses to work through just common people is amazing. The fact that God can take a redeemed sinner like me and he can do anything with me is a miracle in and of itself. And, you know, as I think about this whole mission effort and I reflect on it, it is amazing to me how much Grants Creek has been right at the center of all of it. You know, I'm not sure y'all are aware, but my involvement with Becca Mission started really because Dietrich and Chandra Kaufman had been invited to this community to visit Grants Creek They come invited by your pastor, and as they were coming, they also were going to visit some other churches. So they came down to Shiloh Baptist in Ralph, where I go. And at that time, God had really been speaking to me through our pastor and what he'd been preaching about. And I was praying right when they came. I was praying, God, what is my role in the Great Commission? Our pastor had been really preaching about the Great Commission and being an Acts 1-8 church. And in the center of that, he sends these two missionaries from the far side of the world right into, you know, little old Ralph, Alabama, to speak at our church. And even that right there started because of Grants Creek and your pastor. When I think after they spoke, there was going to be a base camp held, again, here at Grants Creek. So the first time I visited your church, I came to go to this base camp that you hosted here. And beginning with that time and several other times, y'all have fed me very, very well as I've come here. So I've been the recipient of your graciousness in more ways than one. And, you know, every subsequent base camp that we've held has been held right here at Grants Creek. It's amazing to me how many chance encounters there have been, just like what Max described, at which Grants Creek and your pastor have been right at the center. I don't know about y'all, but I don't believe in a big string of coincidences. I believe that's only providence. I believe that's God working. And, you know, as I see all these churches that have come together, it just seems to me exactly like something God would do to use churches from West Alabama. You know, he could have sent churches from New York City. He could have sent churches. He could have sent First Baptist of Atlanta or Dallas, you know, to go reach these people. But he chose not to. And I think there's a reason for that. I think that he has a plan for our churches in this ministry. I was at a family reunion last year, and one of my cousin's kid walked up to my son, who was six at the time, and he said, "We live in Birmingham. Where do y'all live?" And Luke said, "We live in the woods." And, you know, I think for people like us who live in a rural area, a lot of us have farming in our backgrounds or in our families, to go to a rural area on the far side of the world, it's a community of farmers, to spread the gospel, not in our power, because we don't, you know, we're not First Baptist Atlanta and we're not First Baptist Dallas. The fact that God would use little churches from West Alabama seems exactly like something God would do. It seems to me like taking a man hiding in a wine vat to lead 300 men to take over an army. It seems to me like the way, you know, if there was a draft of churches most likely to reach an unreached people group, I don't think Shiloh Baptist would make the cut. But, you know, even David, King David was picked last in the draft of his family. And, you know, nobody wanted to pick him. And it just seems that God loves to use the humble things of this world, if for no other reason than he gets the glory. And I believe that what God is doing here, you know, the verse I didn't read from that Philippians first chapter, the very next verse is one where Paul says, "I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will will bring it to completion." And I believe, as I see God continuing to work in this mission effort, I'm extremely thankful for people like Max and Pastor Mike who continue to step up and answer the call to go. I'm thankful for the churches that are sending them. I'm thankful for the financial support that has made it possible. And I'm just in awe of how God has lined everything up to make this possible, to take the gospel to far off places. In challenging or encouraging you all this morning in what you're doing in Becca Missions, I wanted to quote Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." And I believe that. If we, exactly as Max said, if we don't become discouraged just because a group of, you know, people who've been immersed in a folk Islam culture don't accept Christ the first four or five times we share with them, I'm blown away at how much people are questioning, how much they're seeking, and the fact that immediately, I shouldn't be amazed at that because the God we serve is almighty. But it still blows me away the way that he uses his word. I believe in the word of God. I believe in the word of God to save people. I love this mission effort because I've never seen anything else like it. Any other mission effort I've ever seen, there's something else you have to do in order to share God's word. Whereas with this group, the way that, again, that God has lined it up, they have no language of their own. They love storytelling. It's how they tell their own history. It's how they relate things to one another. So when you show up and want to tell stories, people will sit there and listen. And that is the mission. It's not doing something else so you can share God's Word. It's just going around and sharing God's Word nonstop. And I love it for that. And it answers that sort of passion I have for the Word of God and its power, because as you see people being challenged with the truth of God, when you tell somebody in a folk Islam culture that God loves them and He desires a relationship with them, you are telling them something they have never heard in their whole life. In their concept, God is far off. He does not care about them. And really what you want to do in life is do just enough good works to skate by so that He basically doesn't zap you and eradicate you either now or in the judgment. I mean, that's kind of their concept of God. He's far away. He doesn't want anything to do with you. And when you go in there and you share the message of what God has done to restore our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, you are telling them something they have never heard. The concept of God intervening graciously to be able to save sinful mankind is not something they can conceive of. The idea of grace, the idea of victory in Jesus is not something that they've ever heard. And so to be able to take that and proclaim it in a dark place is an awesome privilege. And so as a church, I just want to exhort you, do not be weary in well-doing. Continue to press into this mission, because God has already put you right at the center of it. I don't know what God has in store for your church or my church in this ministry, but I can tell you our vision is that He has not done this for no reason, and that God has begun a good work and that He will bring it to completion, and that we just need to continue to be faithful to share His Word, and He'll work His Word. You know, the saving part and the fruit, God's one in the fruit business. We're in the sow and the word business. And so we just want to continue to be faithful to that. You know, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "You will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so, you know, my heart for your church and my heart for our church is to be an Acts 1:8 church. I want to see us doing ministry at every phase of that, you know, for Jerusalem, which is our local area, in Judea, which is our state, in Samaria, which is North American missions, and in the uttermost part of the earth, which is stuff like Becca missions, you know, to the far side of the world. And I believe that's the kind of church that Grants Creek is. You know, I've seen y'all continue, even in your bulletin, you've got, you know, a fall jubilee going on right here in your Jerusalem. You've got Becca missions going on at the uttermost part of the earth, and you've got a Samaria trip to South Dakota. So I believe that's the picture that God has for a New Testament church, is to be a witness in all four of those areas. So as you're reflecting on what God would have you to do as a church in your ministry to the uttermost parts of the earth, I just encourage you to continue to not grow weary in well-doing with the Becca mission, because I believe we will reap in due season if we faint not. Now, I just want to thank y'all for all of the support and the way you've continued to host our base camps, the way you've continued to allow your pastor to go and share the gospel, as well as to, you know, I completely echo what Max said about how your pastor has encouraged me and spoken truth and spoken life into my life. This church is having an impact on people in ways that you don't even realize. And so I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for your fellowship in the gospel. And I just want to pray over you, if that's all right, for just your continued involvement in this mission and for your ability to seek God and what He'd have you to do in being an Acts 1:8 church. Let's pray. Father God, we're just thankful to You today. We're thankful for this opportunity You've given us to go and see Your Word opening hearts and provoking people to question the idea that they can get to heaven and get to You by their own good works. Father, we see it every day right here, as in America, so many people are hoping to get to heaven by being a good person rather than hoping to get to heaven because they placed all of their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that we would continue to be faithful to what You would have us to do. I pray for clarity for this church, and that this is a calling for an entire church to do this ministry, not the calling of a group of individuals or this person or that person, but as a church that Grants Creek is called to be a part of what you're doing. And Father, we glorify you for what you are doing and how you're already drawing people to yourself, how you're causing people to question their beliefs about, you know, getting to heaven on works. We're thankful for how you're sowing your word in a dark place. We're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for all that you have done to begin to draw people to yourself. And as we see that, Father, we give you glory. We're thankful for it. And again, Father, I just pray blessings on this church, on their pastor. And I pray, Father, for clarity in every part of their ministry and trying to do your will for what you would have them to do to be a part of where you're at work. And Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Max. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about Becca Missions is these two guys. And as you can tell already from hearing them, God has blessed this ministry by raising up people like Max and Nick. In fact, Nick has recently assumed the position of Becca Missions coordinator. So he is the guy that we're all kind of looking to give us direction as we move ahead with Becca Missions. And so we're so excited he's in that position. But today, I want to go ahead and move right into this discussion that we talked about we were going to have last Sunday with our commitment as a church to pursue Becca Missions until God tells us otherwise. Let me just, and by the way, if you guys in the back will just begin to pass out those agreement documents while I kind of introduce the thoughts toward that. Let me just give you a little history of how we got to the place we are now with Becca Missions. Becca Missions actually began in the heart of a layman over in Alexander City, Alabama, a number of years ago. I've shared a little with you about this man. His name was Myron West. Myron West was just a guy like anybody else sitting in a pew in a church over in Alex City, 6th Street Baptist. But God laid on him this matter of reaching the world for his son. And so Myron, without any prompting from any pastor, as far as I know, got together three other laymen. He began to make some contacts with some missionaries that he knew of in Africa, in Guinea. And he and three other men took a mission trip in 2010, a vision trip to Guinea. And from that trip in 2010, in 2011, two more men from 6th Street went back to Guinea on a second trip. And they just kind of got bitten, just kind of said, we're going to reach these Kakabe people of Guinea. Well, that was 2011. And in 2012, that was when the Kaufmans, Dietrich and Chandra Kaufman, arrived on the mission field of Southern Baptist missionaries in Guinea. And in the latter part of 2012 was when a third group went from 6th Street Baptist. So the Kaufmans are now on the field, and a third group from 6th Street Baptist went to Guinea to minister to those Kakabe people. In that group of people was my brother Marshall. And many of you have met Marshall. He's been here before. And so Marshall went to Guinea in the fall of 2012 and came back sharing what God had done in his life and about all these unreached people groups in Guinea. Well, from that conversation with Marshall, God just laid on my heart a burden that perhaps Grants Creek could also be involved in reaching some of these unreached people groups. And so he gave me the information for the Kaufmans, and I made a contact with them in the spring of 2013. And so Chandra and Dietrich and I began to exchange emails for about a year talking about what could Grants Creek do to possibly get involved in reaching some of these unreached people groups for Christ. And so we continued these conversations for almost a year, or a little over a year actually. And then in July of 2014, a group of churches and individuals met for the first time in our association building up in town for an initial meeting talking about Becca Missions. And we had about eight churches represented at that meeting, and about 15 people were there. As a result of that meeting, about four churches begin to show interest in really coming together as a coalition to reach these unreached peoples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the strategy of the IMB, International Mission Board, is that people go, churches go into these groups about six or eight times a year. And most local churches just cannot, do not have that kind of resource, not the physical manpower, the financial resources either, to go that many times. So we felt like if we were going to make an impact for the Lord, reaching an unreached people group, that other churches would need to get involved with us, many churches. And so that was the reason for the coalition becoming a reality. And so we got those churches together, and in July of 2014, we began to make plans to go and try to reach the Becca people. Well, as Nick has said, in 2015 was when the Kaufmans came to Grants Creek and other churches in West Alabama. You remember their visit? That's been about 2 years ago when they visited Grants Creek and Shiloh, and they visited Southside up in Fayette, and just kind of told the story. And so that was August of 2015, and about a month or two later, about five churches got together. And we had a meeting in our CLC, and we officially voted, as it were, to launch Becca Mission. So that was not quite 2 years ago, 2015. And the churches involved in that decision were, of course, Grants Creek and Shiloh and Southside and Fayette, and also, Calvary of Fayette was in that group that made that decision. And so in faith, we said, this is what God wants. We're going to launch out. And so that was 2015. And, of course, we took our first trip in April of last year. Nick and I went as the first mission team. And then a second trip was last fall as I went back, and Robert Parrish in Fayette, who is Max's uncle, went on that trip. Also, Chris Waddell from Indian Lake went on that trip. And then Nick went back with David Mills, pastor of Shiloh, in April. And then, of course, I just returned from our trip with Max. And so we've had now four trips into the Becca people. And God is blessed on every trip, as these men have already shared with you. Now, as it stands right now, there are seven churches involved in Becca Missions, with the possibility of an eighth church. And so we're slowly building a coalition, and we feel like it will not be very long at all where we'll be able to take those six trips a year by God's grace, with all these churches participating. Some at this point are sending churches. Others are financial supporting churches. But we have sending and going churches at this point. And so we're praying that God continues to increase the numbers of churches until we're able to go six or eight times a year, as the IMB suggests that we go. And the Kaufmans are very comfortable with that. They said, listen, you got to start out small. Just come when you can, and we'll just build it. As God builds it, we'll let it grow until we reach those numbers. Now, I want you to take a look at the document that you're holding in your hand for a moment. This document is basically a gentleman's agreement between Grants Creek and the Southern Baptist Convention mission team in West Africa. And, of course, the Kaufmans are part of this document. This agreement, by the way, we're not going to go over it point by point, so you can breathe a sigh of relief there. I was told before the meeting started, preacher, keep it short and simple, so I'm going to try to do that. But this document is just simply a working agreement laying out the guidelines that Grants Creek will follow and all the other churches in the coalition will follow as well as we pursue reaching the Becca people. The agreement actually includes all the coalition churches, as I said, but the Kaufmans have asked that one church be the point church that signs the document that just kind of seals the commitment in behalf of all the churches. And so, I don't know, it was sometime after the first trip. The timeline is not really clear, but maybe 6 or 8 months ago or so, the churches met together in Grants Creek, it was kind of the feeling of the coalition that they wished that Grants Creek be the Point Church. And so that's the reason we are presenting this document to you today, that we would be the Point Church that signs the document in behalf of all the other churches. But this document would also be binding for all the other churches. And what will happen should we choose to sign this document today, then all the other churches will also have a separate document they will sign, and it will pull the coalition together. And it will just make a commitment of all the seven or eight churches that we will all abide by this document that we are looking at today. So we'll all be under the umbrella of this document, but we will be only ones that sign it if the church sees fit to sign it. Now, let me just go over the major points of this document. And what I want to do is hit it point by point and give you a chance to answer or ask a question under each point that we'll cover. But the major points are just simply what our commitments are. And the rest of the stuff, as far as the nuts and bolts of how we do it, you can read at your leisure. Look on the first page, if you will, to the purpose. The purpose of this engagement team embracing church agreement is that this agreement between Guinea-Sierra Leone Engagement Team and Grants Creek Baptist Church is to assist Grants Creek Baptist Church to fulfill the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So simply says that the engagement team, the missionaries, are going to assist Grants Creek and all the other churches as we pursue to reach the Becca people. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory there. But is there a question to the purpose statement? All right. If not, I want you to look to page 2. And I want you to notice the church responsibilities. Church responsibilities. Now, this is gets down to the meat of it, about what we're going to be expected to do if we enter into this agreement. And I want to go over these points one by one. The Grants Creek Baptist Church is asked to write up and develop their end vision and specific strategy in accordance with their specific people group, religious history, and geographical location, region, and share, review that with the engagement team. So we will write up a vision statement of what we expect to accomplish. We have not done this yet, but that's what we would do in the near future. The role of Grants Creek Church will be to encourage church members to pray, learn, go, and serve as short-term missionaries to their embraced indigenous peoples, which is the Becca people in our case. Grants Creek Church is asked to prepare orientation materials with input from the IMB and the WGC, which is the Western Gateway Cluster, and the engagement team as they feel they need to prepare and train their volunteers. We've already done this to a degree. As the base camps have taken place, we have some materials, and Nick is the primary compiler of all these materials, and he is the teacher, the major teacher of our base camps. So that's already in place to a degree. Fourth point, Grants Creek Church should do all they can to communicate with their UUPG, which is Unreached Unengaged People Group, on a regular basis, pray for them, and plan a ministry trip to them six to eight times a year. The more often you have a presence among the people, conceivably the more progress will be made at a quicker rate. Frequency is also vital for the discipleship of the new believers. So that's our goal, to for the coalition to go 6 to 8 times a year. Last point. Grants Creek Church is asked to respect the guidelines set forth by the IMB and the WGC regional leadership and engagement team as they enter into this agreement. However, the guidelines are non-binding, and Grants Creek Church will be free to terminate the agreement at any point with no further responsibility to the IMB, WGC, or the engagement team. So, this simply states that when we sign this agreement, if we do, we are free without repercussions from anyone to back out as the Lord leads us. If we feel like God's leading in another direction, we'll be free to do so with no questions asked. So I want to take a moment now and ask if there are any questions regarding any of the points under our responsibilities that you would have at this point. Any questions? All right. Let's take a look at miscellaneous parameters then for just a few minutes. I want to hit about three or four of these that all relate primarily to funding or our financial relationship with the ministry. So let's take a look at the first one. Any funding by the church or individuals in the church will be according to the guidelines suggested by the IMB and the WGC. Number two, the top point on page three. All members of the partnership should be careful to avoid the creation of unhealthy dependencies on financial assistance or other material assistance. Let me just stop and explain the thought process of the missionaries. It is one of the core values of Becca Missions that what we do is simply share the gospel. And Nick has already alluded to this. From day one, when Dietrich went into the Becca village, he said on the initial visit, we didn't come here to build any schools. We didn't come here to drill any wells. We didn't come in here to build churches. We don't have any financial assistance to offer. We have one thing to offer, and that is the message of Jesus Christ. And through the history of our mission work in Southern Baptist life, we have found that many times we have failed to really sow the seeds of the gospel because we have gotten sidetracked with humanitarian ministries, which are good in themselves, but they have somehow, we've kind of gotten lost with the main calling of sharing the gospel because of other priorities. And so Becca Missions, along with all they do really in Guinea, is simply sharing the gospel without any promises of financial assistance. So that's what all these points are referring to, actually. That's what the first point on page three is referring to. Now I want you to look down to the third point, the third little bullet point there. The support of the people group pastors by Grants Creek Baptist Church and the construction of church buildings and church donations will be strongly discouraged. So just the same line of thinking in that point. Now look at the last point. Grants Creek Church will have the responsibility of covering the cost of the practical expense of Grants Creek Church sponsored trips, as mentioned above. However, they will not be responsible for the covering the cost of the trips of other churches in the Becca Coalition. Simply meaning, our church will fund our trip. Shiloh's church will fund Shiloh's trip and would be with any other church. Now, I will say this. Our church, we have appropriated in our budget, 1.5% of our budget goes to Becca Missions every month. And so I looked at our financial report for May. We have about $4,200 in our Becca Mission Fund as it stands right now. My projected next trip will be next year sometime if the Lord allows me to go. But what I'm saying is this fund is primarily for Grants Creek, and we are not responsible for any other church, their expenses. However, if our church agreed to help another church, we could do so if we agreed to do so, but we are not obligated to do so. It would only be because we chose to help another church that was in need, which I think would be a great idea if we needed to. If there was a need and we could and could afford it, I think it would be great to do it, but we're not obligated to do so. So, are there any questions about any of these financial concerns under miscellaneous parameters that you would have? All right. Let's take a look at the goal of the partnership. The ultimate goal is to see God use our efforts in seeing the unengaged, unreached people groups of Guinea and Sierra Leone delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And so we just want to reach the Becca people with the salvation message of our Lord Jesus and see them redeemed and have eternal life as we do. So is there any question on the goal of the coalition?
I realize that you're not going to build anything or dig wells, but when you go, would you
Yes, in fact, we have done that. We've given out Bibles. Not many though, because a lot of folks can't read. See, the Becca, they do not have a written language. Now, many of the people do speak French, and so we have given away some French Bibles, and we have also given away some. What's the other translation? Nick?
Arabic.
We've given away two or three Arabic Bibles and a few more French Bibles. And we'll continue to do that as we have opportunity to share the Scriptures. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Let's take a look at the statement of the agreement that we would agree with before we would sign on the bottom line. Let's just read that together. The engagement and grants to Creek Baptist Church agreement. We will commit to work together in fulfilling the Great Commission. Our mutual objectives will be to evangelize the lost, plant new indigenous reproducing churches, and minister to certain needs as they are encountered. In this, we will be following the example of Christ. Our mutual goal is that the engagement team in Grants Creek Church will experience spiritual renewal through this commitment to work side by side. We will be dependent on our Father's leadership and guidance and power of the Holy Spirit for the ultimate glory of Jesus and His kingdom. We will work together according to the objectives, goals, and strategies described in this partnership agreement. We will commit ourselves to pray for one another and to work together as fellow believers for the glory of God. That is what we're agreeing to yoke together with the engagement team should we vote to do so. I might say that our deacons have been studying this document for several months now, and actually they suggested a couple of changes in the document before we brought it to you. And so we made those changes regarding primarily financial responsibilities. And we made those changes. We consulted with the missionaries. They allowed us to make the changes to the original document to tweak it to where we would be in agreement. And our deacons are all in agreement now. And so this recommendation today comes from deacons and pastor that our church officially vote to adopt this agreement to be the Point Church for Becca Missions. So at this point, are there other questions that we would need to entertain? Okay, before we do that, thank you, Floyd. I hold that thought just a minute. I want us to call us into official business session before we do that. We need to officially call us into business session so we can make this an official time to do that. So now we're called into the session to entertain a motion. So would you just state that again? All right. We have a call for the vote that we would adopt this agreement with the Southern Baptist Missionaries and the Western Cluster Group. So all in favor that we adopt this on behalf of the coalition and that Grants Creek be the Point Church, please signify by raising your hand. Are there any opposition? Please raise your hand. Okay? It carries unanimously. Sue. Wherever you are, Sue Keel. There you are. Okay. Thank you, Sue. All right. Well, we'll consider ourselves adjourned. Do I hear a motion? We adjourn our business session. So move, and I have a second. Someone? All in favor, please say amen. All right. We're done. Thank you so much. Well, let me say that I'm so thankful that that God has led you to do what you just did. And I want to tell you, God has been honored to this point, and I'm certain that great things are ahead for Becca Missions. I want to share with you just briefly. I know the time. I actually haven't looked at my watch, so I don't know what time it is. But I do want to share with you a brief word from God's Word today as we conclude, just to kind of wrap this whole thing up about Becca Missions. May I say to you that what we're talking about today is much broader than just going to Guinea, Africa. And that's what I want to impress upon you for just a few moments. Let me ask you a question as we just consider this. If you're a believer in Jesus, first of all, you know the greatest gift that you have as a believer is eternal life. Jesus is life. He is the greatest gift from heaven God ever gave. And in Him we have life and have it abundantly. That is by far the greatest gift God ever gave us. After that, after the greatest gift of salvation, what is the greatest gift would you consider Jesus ever gave you? Now just think about it. What would the greatest gift be? Let me tell you what a lot of people would say. A lot of folks would say, well, it's no doubt my family. My family is the greatest gift. My husband, my wife, my kids, without a doubt, that's the greatest gift. May I say, those are precious gifts, but those are not the greatest gifts God ever gave you. Not at all. Let me tell you why. As precious as they are temporary. And one day, either by death or by divorce or by desertion, you're going to lose some family members, or they're going to lose you. It will happen. Therefore, that is not the greatest gift, because you'll lose them. Some people would say, well, in addition to family, they would say, well, fame is pretty important to me. That people know me and that people know what I've accomplished in life. A few years ago, I was at the university. For some unknown reason, I've forgotten, it's been actually many years ago, but I was out at the athletic department for some reason. And so I was just standing around waiting to do something or see somebody, and an older gentleman came up and began to talk with me about Alabama football. And so we were in the conversation about 5 or 10 minutes or so, and then he introduced himself. He said, oh, by the way, I am so-and-so. And immediately when he said who he was, I recognized his name. He was one of the greats that played for Crimson Tide back in the 40s or the 50s. I mean, he was an old-timer, but I knew who he was. And his name was in the record books. May still be in the record books. And I could tell there was just a little sense of pride in his voice when he told me who he was. But you know what? That's been about 25 years ago, and I declare, I've forgotten who it was now. I've forgotten. And unless you're an old-timer like me, some of you, most of you, would never even heard his name at all. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying if you ever do attain to any fame in this world, one of these days, you're going to lose it. There are others who would say, well, fortune's pretty important to me, you know, money. We've just heard a testimony today how worthless material gain is going to be in the end. One day, it will not matter to you that you made one stinking dollar or $10 million. It just won't matter. All these things are good, but they are not our greatest gifts. The greatest gift you will ever have that God ever gives you is your opportunity to make an impact for eternity in this world. That 10 billion years from now, what you have done on this earth will still be reaping eternal results. That is the greatest gift God ever gave you, to make an impact for the kingdom. Now, let's talk about that for just a little bit today. Paul understood that very well. Paul said, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." He knew how important it was to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to every single person. And each of our callings are different, but I'm telling you, beloved, every one of us has a calling just like Paul. Every single one of us. Nate Young is the campus minister at the university. And a few years ago, I was in a meeting, and he laid a one-liner on us that I've never forgotten. Here's what Nate Young said. He said, "Those who are saved, if you are saved, you are also sent." Let me just quote him directly. He said, "To be saved is to be sent." I want you to let that sink into your soul today. To be saved is to be sent. Are you saved? Then you were sent. You are sent. Paul understood that. He understood that perfectly. Now, I want to read to you, we're going to shorten the text today for time purposes, but I want to read to you the message that Paul took when he shared the gospel. So if you will, just take your Bible quickly and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's take a look at what he said. I want you to look with me at verse 27. Paul said, To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was the message. Christ in you. Listen, y'all, that's not too hard to grasp. Jesus Christ living in you is your hope of glory. It is your only hope of glory. Listen, it is not the insecure hope of the Muslims, as Nick spoke about a moment ago. Do this, do this, do this, or don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That's all they've got to hope for. They can't even say Muhammad in you the hope of glory, because you see, Muhammad himself didn't even know if he was going to heaven. He admitted it. But we have a certain hope, and it is a simple hope. It is simply Christ in you. And it is a certain hope, by the way. Because you see, that word hope, it does not have the definition that it carries in our common vocabulary. If you ask many people today, are you going to heaven? They'll say, well, most love is, well, I hope so. Or I think so. But deep down in their heart, they're not sure. They're afraid they're not. But their hope is, you know what that kind of hope means? Well, just maybe if I cross my fingers and try hard enough, but I'm not sure. Listen, that is not the biblical definition of the word hope. The literal definition of hope in the New Testament is a joyful and confident expectation. So if you're a Bible marker, just by the word hope, write down this word, certainty. Or write down the word guarantee. Christ in you, the certainty of glory. Christ in you, the guarantee of glory. That's the certainty we have of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But why can we be so certain? How can we have that certainty? Well, let me tell you why, beloved. That's because, you see, when the trumpet blows and Gabriel blows the horn, he's not really blowing it for you. Now, he's blowing it for you in a way because you're going to be going if you're a Christian. But he's really blowing it for Jesus. In Romans 8:11, the Bible teaches that it is the Spirit of Christ in us that's going to hear that trumpet and is going to go to heaven when the trumpet blows. And you see, we just go through Jesus. It is through the Spirit of God that we go. And I'm telling you, Jesus is not going to be asleep in us when the trumpet blows. He's going to be awake. He's going. And we're going to go with Him. So it is a certain hope that we have. Christ in you, the certain hope of glory. That is our message. But I want you to notice three things really quickly about how this all plays out. And it's in your outline. But the first thing I want you to notice is the magnitude of this mandate, this message. Paul said, if you'll look in verse number 28, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Listen, friends, that's the reason we're going to Becca missions. As Nick put it so beautifully a few months ago, the gospel says, go everywhere. We're going to Becca. Marty and Jackie and Jeff and Elizabeth and their kids are in Mobridge, South Dakota, preaching the gospel this week. We preach the gospel from time to time as we go door to door in Falters and Raft. We go everywhere for the gospel. It is an all-inclusive message. It's also not only that, but it is also a message of striving in verse 29. We see the striving of it. Look what he says in verse 29. Him we preach, verse 29, to then also labor, striving according to his working. That word striving means, it is the Greek word agonizomai. Agonizomai. Can you kind of tell what that might mean in English? The word agony. We agonize with the gospel. It is a striving. It's the same word Paul used when he said, I have fought the good fight. Friends, listen, going with the gospel is a fight. It's a battle. Every time you go with the gospel, the devil's going to tell you don't go. It'd be much more convenient and easier if you just sit in your living room and watch cartoons or watch ESPN. Every time you open your mouth, the devil's going to say, don't open your mouth. Stay silent. It's a battle to go with the gospel. And Paul said that. I strive to go with the gospel. Just know, if you're going to be on the gospel team, it's going to be a battle. It is not for wimps. He said one more thing. Not only do we go to the whole world and we strive for the gospel, But we have a power that causes us to succeed. This is where it gets good. Look at verse 29 again. He says, I labor, I strive, but I strive according to His working, which works in me mightily. Paul had a strength in his struggle, and it was the power of God. Listen, friends, when we decide we're going to go, first of all, God goes before us. And secondly, when we go, He empowers us. And so we can't lose if we're walking in the Spirit, because His Spirit empowers us to succeed. That's the reason we know we're going to reach some people if we keep going to the beck of people, because the Spirit of God is going to do the work and some of them are going to be saved. So we go to the whole world. We know it's going to be a battle, but we know we've got the strength to win the battle. Now, I want to share my heart with you as we close today, but I want you just to open up and see the preacher's heart here. We've got some people in our church that are already doing this. When we have vacation Bible school and we have revivals, and when we do these events down at the park, and from the and in day-to-day operations of the church, just Monday through Friday, I see many of you, and I see you striving for Jesus' sake. And I'm telling you, there's no prouder pastor in all of America than your pastor when I see you doing this. I am so thankful I'm your pastor. Let me share what I pray is going to happen one day. I pray one day every single member of Grants Creek is going to have the same passion that some of you already have. Every single member is going to strive for the gospel. We're going to, in lockstep, just march out of this church and win the world to Jesus. Every single member is going to be willing to share. Every single member is going to be willing to give, tithe. Every single member is going to say, I'll be a part. Now, is that a pie in the sky that will never happen? Is that a ridiculous concept? I don't think so. Why? I'll tell you why, beloved. Because that's what God expects. That's what Jesus expects. And therefore, I don't think it's too much that any of us expect that. That is my dream, that we will come into that relationship with Christ and each other, and we're going to get excited about this thing and see it happen, not only in Guinea, but right here.